This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora and good morning and welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective here on 89.0. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning,
gentlemen. Good morning. Yeah, on this last Saturday before Christmas, as they say.
Of course. So how's the festive season going for you guys?
Well,
you'll be busy with your tight line of work, community work.
But in a particular space around food parcels.
Yeah.
But I'm not part of that. I've got a colleague in that space.
Yeah, but the community centre. Yeah. Because let's face it, the advertising is extreme everywhere, and of course, you know, the reality is people want to do what they can for their kids or friends or rallies, etc. And the only thing you can change is your food, really.
Yeah.
You know, go out. And so people can easily find that they've run out of money, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring back Muldoon and the, what, you know, it didn't do very long, but they I remember they gave pensioners and beneficiaries a week's extra pay at Christmas time.
Mm.
And it was a wonderful thing for, you know, lifted the spirits of the whole nation, I think. And it got spent.
You went straight back into the economy.
Of course it did. Mm. You know, you get an extra $300 or now be the equivalent of $500 for the week. It gets spent. Give a rich man $500.
Goes in his pocket.
Yeah.
Or goes in his bank or his investments or on a trip to overseas, you know.
Yeah.
He might spend it locally, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of that, of this so-called 1% increase of, you know, economic growth, how everybody was gloating.
Yeah.
But then we have, what about those who are struggling at the very end?
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. Oh, well, let's face it, you know, people say, oh, you know, the economy's not very good and everything else. I know personally people that are doing fine, thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know?
No, the economy's fine for certain people.
Yeah.
Very much so. The only people who are happy with business, politicians, and the media.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they love beating it up, going, oh, it's terrible, talk about it. Then they all hop in their nice cars and go off to their beach house or their lake house or their,
mm-hmm.
you know, and play golf at the country club, you know.
Yeah, and what they ask our so-called Prime Minister a question, oh, what's your favourite Christmas meal? Oh, I do enjoy turkey.
Yeah.
You're right.
But, yeah, you know, that's a different
one. One of the reasons I hate Christmas, they ask banal questions of certain celebrities or political
figures. Yeah, that's exactly
and
what a load of dingo's kidneys.
I find Christmas, sadly, and I don't know if it's intentional, but it does highlight inequalities.
Yeah, very much so. That's why.
You know, it's. That makes, for me, it's, you know, and I think Mick's got a good news story for us now, but it's really nice that when people remember not just themselves at Christmas time especially, but there's others and do stuff. And a lot too, of course.
Sometimes it might just be a small gesture.
Yeah. Tell us, Mick.
Yeah, tell us.
Mick has a lovely experience.
Well, this is concerning my opticians, Total Vision in Hamilton East, and I've been going there for 30 years. And I broke my glasses. Broke the frame, so I made an appointment to go and see him, and I turned up and said, oh, we can't see you. I said, pardon? He said, well, we can't see anymore because we've been taken off the list of opticians recognised by WINS.
Or MSD, yeah.
MSD.
Yeah, yeah.
What? But I've been going in for 30 years.
Mm.
I said, well, what am I going to do now? And they did give me a couple of opticians that are recognised. I'm going to have to go into town now. But I said, well, what about these glasses? And said, well, hang on a minute. And they rummaged around the drawer and I found a spare set of frames. So they were able to take the lenses out of my broken glasses, put them into new frames, and they didn't charge me.
Oh, the spirit of Christmas. Credit to them.
Yeah, so it was a nice parting shot.
And doesn't that do good for your spirit?
I was really surprised. I thought, oh, I really appreciate it. Thank them very much. And they also gave me I was having eye examinations, and they came up with the figures for each eyeball. I thought, well, I'm going to have to go to one of those $2 shops to get... And they gave me the required number to look for as far in terms of magnification, you know, so...
Well, that's a nice story.
They didn't have to do it. They could have said, well, I'm sorry, no, you're going to go somewhere else now.
Yeah.
But they found a pair of spare frames and...
But that's actually, like, it's great for you, but it's also great for their souls.
And I won't be the only one who suddenly finds it, because there'll be lots of people in my position who go to the opticians for that reason and being told, well, I'm sorry, we can't see you anymore.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are going to be inconvenienced. Yeah. There's going to be people who... difficulty moving around or getting to that place anyway. A decision made by someone who's not impacted by this completely.
But that's a kindness, and it's good for them. And you'll pay it forward. I always find if someone does me a kindness, I might not be able to pay it forward to them, but I tend to pay that attitude forward.
I think I've recommended Total Vision to you one time.
Yeah,
and you go there now, and I've done it the other bit. Well, if we want to go to the good
eyes lasered,
and see Total Vision and Hamilton East, they're really, really good.
Yeah.
So I'm passing the goodwill on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be interested why they're not on MSD's list anymore.
Yeah, because I'm still going to have to go through the same procedure, but just a different optician. Mm. So it's served no purpose but inconvenience.
Well, and also it goes back to... if you don't have a car, transport, all that, sometimes they take things for granted. It's like getting rid of the no one's voting and they've got rid of all the postal, post boxes.
Someone's made a decision somewhere in Wellington and,
Well, great, good story. Hey, while we're on the Christmas thing, can I just get a couple of things? Just a good citizen reminder. This time of year, about people doing it hard, etc. So if you can, spread the love, do. But also about rubbish and recycling. There's often a lot of extra surplus food and people's food bins, etc. Uh-huh. Remember, if you want to stop getting maggots and all that sort of thing, if you've got space in your fridge or your freezer, produce perishable foods, just leave it in your fridge or your freezer and bring it out on the day that you put your little bins out. It makes a huge difference. And I go back even to the human net. The people who pick up the rubbish and the recycling are human beings.
Mm.
If we can make their job more pleasant, please do it, because treat people as how you want to be treated yourself.
Because they're coming to your place to take your rubbish away.
Yeah, and they can get paid, but
they're still providing a service.
They're a human being.
Yeah.
And would you like to be, if you get whatever you do, someone come in and disregard you as a serf? No, treat them. They're human beings.
I take it one stage further. There's around the corner from my corner of my road, someone had put their food screen scrap bin out, been emptied, but it's obviously spilled.
Mm.
So there's this congealed mass that's been sitting there in the middle of the footpath all week.
Yeah.
As I'm thinking, well, why can't those people just grab a quick hose and just quickly
or a bucket of water and go push.
Wash it away. But the whole pavement is this gooey mess, whatever it is. Yeah. So I have to sort of go around. it's just careless... disregard. It's outside on the pavement, so it's nothing to do with me.
It's not mine. And let's face it, it's like rubbish or anything else. If you're walking along the path and there's a piece of rubbish and you know that you're walking past the rubbish bin up the road, pick it up if you can.
The only thing I don't do is pick up tissues.
Oh, if there's something... you can't.
I don't know where it's been.
But I'm just saying...
Something like a bottle or whatever, something like a wrapper.
And just remember, it might not be your rubbish, but it is our planet, or it is your suburb, it is your street. If we all have that attitude, and I've seen it, people have a nice tidy section, everything else, and on the just outside their boundary, there's rubbish. And I think, here you are, you've got a nice set, you do all this, and you won't look after your berm. you know, because it's not yours. Anyway, that's my Christmas reminder.
Yeah, we did the food parcels at work.
Yeah,
and we also had somebody, I don't know the full details, but they bought all these boxes of food, and it was just a variety of stuff. So our staff that revolve around the reception bagged it all up into separate blue bags. And basically gave it to people that we've enjoyed working with.
Oh, nice.
And that includes clients of mine.
There are,
and I have to be honest, there are clients that I wouldn't give that to because I think they're...
hard work.
Needy is probably a better word, needy. But I sort of approached, so we've got all this food. Who do you think who it should go to? I had four names and these people picked it up and... the comment from particularly one person was that, thank you, I was totally overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's nice. Oh, no, as I say, it's...
Because the other thing I think, are there emergency food banks or charities that pick up the slack from when some of these government departments all close down for the holidays?
Apart from, we know there's our food parcels come from the Central Christian Food Bank.
Yeah.
So when we make orders and they pack it all up, but I think that closes during this time.
There's trouble, isn't
it? I think there are emergency ones, but I didn't look it up. I should have.
It seems a shame that the time when the most needed is when it's no longer available because people are going away and not.
They need a break.
Need a break as well. Unfortunately, it coincides with people's.
But I'm sure there will be. I'm sure if I don't know who. I don't know where you'd find that information.
Yeah. Some people may retain a portion of their, if they're into work and income, a portion of their food grant during this time, just to tie them over. But doing a food grant for a client this week, you've got to be accurate. You may have to be a little bit liberal with the truth about why you need it. Given the types of questions that they ask. What emergency? Okay, and stuff like that.
It's a difficult time for some people.
Yeah, I go back. The government got money to give it to landlords for their spare wealth to give them more tax perks. Why can't we just give an extra week's pay for beneficiaries and pensioners, you know?
That would be...
Even if they means test it on pensioners. So, you know, people like myself didn't get it, you know. But why can't we do things? Because, as I say, people, if you give the poor extra money at any time, they need to spend it. Because they're poor. It would just go straight back into the economy, you know?
That's that Richard... that Robert Reich...
Well, it was an old Muldoon thing.
He was that, you know, he's that commentator at the United States. So increasing the minimum wage. Where would it go?
It just recycles.
Of course it does.
Instead of the rich pocketing it.
Buying another rental so people who'd love to be able to buy a house
can't.
Or struggle to compete with them.
Mm-hmm. So all that.
Okay.
Yeah, so... I'm off for 2 weeks, so yep.
Okay. Well deserved. So when do you have you finished work?
I go back on the 5th.
No, but are you finished now? You've finished. You started your break now.
Friday. Okay. Friday was our last day yesterday. Yep.
Okay.
And we had our staff do yesterday evening.
Well, Mick and I are retired, so sort of doesn't have the same emphasis, does it? You know, so
Well, you're right.
We're living the dream.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. Yes.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. All right. Okay. What do you got there, Mick?
Well, as the people who are listening to the show, when I all week it's been about the Bondi shootings. Which I strongly condemn what happened. It should never have happened, but it has, and I feel sorry for those innocent people who got killed. But because that happened on the Sunday, it was reported on the Al Jazeera on the Monday, and this is in the paper on Tuesday. Terror in Bondi, that was the big headline, and then there was various special articles which I ignored, and I like, anti-Semitism is in all its ugliness and cruelty. It was Luxon. Australia left reeling from act of evil. Armed police guard New Zealand sites bizarre Jewish community safe. And another one was Never Again Is Now. That was New Zealand Holocaust Centre.
Yeah, yeah.
So I dispensed with reading it because I just thought I'd had an overdose on journalists trying to speculate as to the cause. But the bottom of the page, there's a quote or a piece that says, we say anti-Semitism is the sign of a sick society. To all those who have made repellent remarks to friends or at work, stop. To those who have shared vile posts and conspiracies about Jewish people on social media, stop. To those, including in the political class, who have emboldened, appeased and excused the bigotry, stop. And to those who have stayed silent, now is the time to speak up. Yes, I agree with those sentiments, but you could take the word anti-Semitism out and Jewish, and you could put in
Islamophobia.
Anti-Islam, Islamophobia. You could take Arabs. You could put LGBTQ.
You could put a number of things.
Anything.
Yeah.
So, and yes, it is true. Anti-Semitism is a sign of sick, but all those other discriminations in the extreme are, in my opinion, are a sign of a sick society.
Of course, yeah, any sort of racism.
Any sort of
supremacy.
Supremacy, you know? Racism.
Yeah.
Even from mild disinterest about a particular group of people to just rapid, violent actions. Yes, so I do agree with the sense, but it should include all forms of discrimination.
Yeah.
I mean, what happened on Bondi was, and what happened in Christchurch almost 7 years ago, that was discrimination in the extreme, wasn't it?
And what's been happening in Gaza is discrimination.
But there's no... There's no very little mention of that in mainstream media.
No, it isn't. No,
and okay, you can't say, oh, you know, well, that's they get, you know, it happened. What happened? There's got to be a relationship between Israel.
This wasn't one-off. This has been building up over years, decades.
Yeah, you know, and so violence begets violence, and it's awful, and it's the innocents that they're easier targets, etc.
Yeah.
So I'm.
And the Australian government was being condemned because not protecting. But we pointed out you can't protect against lone wolves.
Which these two were. Yeah.
Well, and so was the guy in Christchurch. He murdered Muslims. You know, you can't protect.
So I agree with the sentiments, but it's just one sided the way the news media have reported it. Yes, that's true what they've said, but it applies to all sorts of people, all sorts of groups of people, and.
And we shouldn't put Jews up on a higher platform than anyone else.
We should be all on a level playing field.
We're all the same.
We're all supposed to be humans.
Yeah, and that's the first level.
And we condemn any sort of extreme violence.
Yeah, yeah.
On any group of people.
Yeah.
Perpetrated by any other group of people. I want the killing to stop.
Well, I think we all do. We all do. And I thought it was quite... You know, the number of people who jumped on the bandwagon for their own political purposes... Yep. Netanyahu, you know, was despicable because he's blamed Australia and Albanese for wanting to recognise Palestine
as
the cause of why it happened. Well, that's just such, you know, such a long stretch. Sure, the real cause, Mr. Netanyahu, of many of the things is people are upset and angered by Israel's actions.
Yeah.
You know, and they can't get near Israel to do anything about it. But a soft target is Jewish people, you know, in this instance.
Well, that was a soft target.
You know. The only other thing I, you know, it happened in a Hanukkah celebration, etc. Yeah. But, see, this is where it rubs. You don't hear the conversation, but often at these events they have the Israeli flag flying, which has the Star of David in it.
Yeah.
But it's used as the national flag.
Mm.
So it's say, oh, it's a religious event, but then we have the national flag of Israel flying there.
Yeah.
It's conflated together somehow. And so.
Well, politics is involved in everything.
Yeah. And so it's used. And the same thing. This the rabbi who got murdered, Eli Schlanger, you know, there's lots of. He's been over to Israel and he's been, what do you call it? Mixing with the IDF and giving them praise and all that. And that's a known fact that that he went over them. So he has brought politics into the equation as well.
Mm-hmm. But extremists always do. They mouth these sort of religious platitudes, being God-fearing, but at the same time it's a political event.
Does it deserve to be killed for it? No.
No.
But that's where your actions make you far more disliked by some, you know? And that's happened before. I don't know how they... You're going to separate religion and politics. I don't think you can.
I think
Israel has been very good at using the religious, the Jew thing to support their cause. Because they always go, we're defending the Jewish homeland, we're doing this for Jews around the world.
Well, they basically exploited it.
Yeah, and actually, have they made it more safer for Jewish people around the world? Probably not.
Not after that. No, they're just this is just an example of they're not safe.
Okay. You say, well, why? Are they just picking on Jews because they've just been minding their own business? Well, in this particular case, yes, many of them may have been minding their own business. But when you've got the rabbi, and he was one of the first to be shot, apparently, so he could well have been the idea of the target for all of it.
Yeah.
Someone could have gone, this guy is over there mixing with the IDF. He's the target.
Didn't you tell me it was a photograph of him? With the photograph was true, and him...
Holding an artillery shell.
Just been signed or something.
Holding guns and you know, hugging a couple of IDF. Okay, you know, he's allowed to do that. But as a rabbi, as a minister of a faith...
He's going to get reaction from the people who...
Just as despicable as the President of Israel signing an artillery shell to lob in the Gaza. Yeah. Just as despicable as Haley, the American politician who was the ambassador, signing a... There's been some... People have signed what I call weapons of violence thinking. Yeah. And that's just straight... I don't know if it's racism, it's supremacy, it's... It's vengeance. It's awful.
That's the sign of a sick society.
Exactly. Yeah. So the sooner that we can go, okay, if Israel would learn to share, Jews would become a lot safer around the world.
Yeah.
Because now, even in America, the Americans are waking up to the and questioning, why do we do everything for Israel?
Yeah.
Why do we spend all our money, give our money to Israel and our support to Israel, and we don't do enough at home? So, you know, this whole thing hasn't helped Israel at all. And it hasn't helped, by that, it hasn't helped the Jewish people at all. So, yeah. Yeah,
but you're talking about a lot of things that not mainstream media are talking about.
Well, and I say everyone's too intimidated to talk about it. But we need to have a conversation about it. It doesn't mean that you're anti-Semitic or anything. We should talk about what happens in the Islam world, etc.
Well, we've got a situation where people are taking sides or they're trying to stay out of it.
Yeah. And this guy Nick Fuentes, who's a self professed nationalist, etc.
Tribute Act,
but he's had a real he's just saying what he thinks and what he's observed, and he's backing it up by argument. And he's really rattling America, especially the Republican side of it.
Yeah.
But if you can't have a conversation about certain peoples or certain house, then that's the real problem. You need to be able to have those conversations.
But we're not allowed to.
You know, we sometimes have it if the guys have decided they're bad, but we haven't had the conversation about. How does Israel's action affect how the world sees it? You know,
it's sort of
just lost. Or, you know, the world Jews has nothing to do with Israel. That's not right.
Not quite correct.
Not correct. We need to have the conversation. And there's tens of thousands of Jews who are abhorred about Israel's actions. But there's also tens of thousands of Jews that are still support Israel to the max. And there's thousands, tens of thousands of Christians, evangelicals and others that are still support Israel.
There is that connection because the Bondi shootings was front and centre of our news right through most of this week. In various forms. So that tells us, and what other people have said overseas, how the Jewish lobby controls the narrative.
Well, and even in New Zealand, you know, how big is the influence?
I think it's quite significant.
Because we see New Zealand First and, both very... I don't blame for coming out and saying we condemn it, just as I condemn that act of violence, awful act of violence, condemn all violence. But you just wonder, what's the influence? What's going on here?
Yeah. You
know? And we need to have that conversation. And in America, they're saying, well, hang on, how come we're doing all this for Israel and we're not doing anything for ourselves at home? What's the relationship?
Yeah.
And they're starting to say, well, hang on, all these congressmen and senators, many of them have taken AIPAC money. And AIPAC is this American-Israeli PAC, which is, and what their role is basically is AIPAC, people want to give money to Israel or to a candidate. They don't do it as an individual. They donate the money to AIPAC, which is like a clearinghouse. Yeah. And then AIPAC decides how much and who we're giving the money to.
Yeah.
Apart from the odd wealthy dual citizen American Jewish person, like Miriam Adis and that, who give, you know, directly are quite happy to have their name out there. A lot just give their money to AIPAC, and AIPAC decides where that money goes. And they will give their money to either to pro-Israel candidates.
Yeah.
And it's been going on for decades. So it's very strong. It's very strong. And they have lots of money involved.
Yeah, it sounds like billions. Yeah.
Hopefully once it settles down as far as the immediate media, there's some conversations had.
I got sick of the news, basically, and that's what I said about the media. Yeah, and
lots of speculation by journalists.
Unfortunately,
well, tragedy and drama sells news.
Print. Yeah, but I do give credit to, is it Malcolm Turnbull or something? He was a Tory minister, over there, and told Netanyahu to mind his own, with respect, mind his own business. It's for Australia's disorder.
Netanyahu's argument is the spurious one, the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he does. I don't think Israel is a very powerful country, and there's lots of influential friends, but he hasn't enamoured Israel to anyone. Even the people who still semi support it. I've had several who Israel can do no. Well, they realise Israel's doing bits wrong, but still support Israel against Islam or whatever else.
Yeah.
But they certainly aren't impressed with Netanyahu, and those other two guys.
Even if they've got rid of it, it doesn't change the ethos. They get rid.
Oh, it's in Israeli society.
He'll be replaced by another one.
Well, and as we've seen before, they've had lots of big protests in Israel about Netanyahu.
Not about the war.
But not about occupation, not about apartheid, about being fair.
Yeah.
It's just we don't like Netanyahu. We want to go back to the old way of apartheid. We want to go back to the old way of occupation. No, not many are saying, hang on a minute, we need to discuss how we do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
thank goodness we've got a treaty here. That's all I can say. You know, people, there's some I know who moan about the treaty and all that. But by having a treaty, it helps calm things down, I'm sure.
But some people want to get rid of that too.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that's helped us, and I was thinking about it, okay, the treaty is a definite calmer of things. As much as some people moan about it, say, the Maori's getting too much stuff. Also, there's also a lot of interracial mixing, which doesn't happen as much in the Middle East on all sides.
No, it doesn't here.
So, like, you and I have both got some Māori heritage, you know.
There was
a lot of mixing went on. So whereas you get two different peoples and you don't allow intermarriages. In other words, you don't allow people to love where they want to love, could love. It causes problems.
Majorly,
Anyway, enough of that. But, still an awful tragedy. But as I say, I'm afraid it not just against Jews, but there'll be, unfortunately, with the way we are in the world, it's not the only massacre that's going to be in it.
No, it'll be another group of people for another reasons.
Can't, like you said, Mick, the lone wolves, you can't, someone gets upset enough and finds or able to do the means, is prepared to sacrifice their life, they're hard to police against.
Yeah. And there's been a number of them over the years.
Just to go along and say, oh, we'll react, we won't be able to have a Palestinian, say anything about Palestine, we won't be able to say anything bad about Israel, that's starting to say, well, okay, you can't, what's that? That's free speech been attacked.
It's censorship.
Oh, and then they say, there's always the meme about and the trope about, who rules the world? Well, if you're not allowed to actually talk about people, like certain groups of people or a group of people, it certainly adds fuel to that fire. So it's counterproductive.
One of the things that drove me nuts about Bondo was the words of our so-called Prime Minister. Our thoughts and condolences are with the Jewish people. But what about other people? Other peoples who have suffered, and are still suffering.
Yeah.
Palestinians, South Sudanese, West Papua, and you can just go on. Where's your thoughts and condolences with them?
The thing that really was brave guy was the shopkeeper that came out and tackled one of the gunmen. And he's been financially given a couple of million dollars or something, lot of money. And he's been shot a couple of times for his troubles, etc. But in one way, I hate to say this, but it was fortunate that he was a Muslim and an Arab.
Yeah.
Because if it'd been that actually helped what I call dilute the hate and the rage against Muslims, because it was allegedly Muslims that were doing this atrocity as individuals, but it was another Muslim that came along and saved lives.
And he was a Middle Eastern Muslim, as opposed to probably the shooters were out of Pakistan or Afghanistan or
whatever. But it certainly has helped, I think, calm some of the pressure.
Well, I didn't see any words of gratitude from the Zionist state's leader, though, about that man.
Well, initially they said, because they play the copybook, we're doing this to fight against the evil of what do you call it, Muslims or the Islams and all that. We're just trying to protect our homeland and all that. It's all very sad, really.
Our homeland, in inverted commas.
Yeah. Moving on.
Footnote to the Papatoetoe Ohtara Action Team.
Oh, yeah.
Judge voids board election result. Fresh poll ordered in Papatoetoe's scrutiny intensifies over irregularities. And so it means a new election for the subdivision will need to be completed by April 9 of next year.
We talked about it last week a couple of times.
So nominations begin from the 31st of this month and finish January 28th next year. And so they have to,
The judges seems to have decided that public perception...
There's a lot of suspicion.
We have to uphold the electoral system.
By Halsey, the guy who brought the original complaint in, he's saying, while the battle has been won, the war to strengthen our democracy is not over. The postal system, ballot system must end.
Yeah, and that's my argument, that the physical system is still... able to be corrupted, where there's mass groups of things.
But then I still think the electronic system can be corrupted as well.
Yeah.
There's no perfect safeguards.
No, there's not.
If there's a determination to defraud the electoral process, people will give it a go.
We've had little bits and pieces of it, but this seems to have been. The police are still doing an inquiry into the case, etc. This is just about the judges, the political side of it. But these guys could well win again.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that just because they've had this thrown out, there could be another election. There is a large ethnic Indian population in
Papatoetoe. Yeah, I imagine there'd be closer scrutiny this time.
Well, if they win
by fair means, fine. Yeah, but if there's any suspicion of skullduggery...
I don't think the judge had any other choice. Seeing there was 50-odd votes that people had, that found that people had asked for their voting papers because they hadn't arrived, and they were told they'd already voted. that's for yeah. that's not right, is it? You know, so he didn't yeah. have a choice, I think.
No. Yeah, well, because it wasn't one. It was yeah, as you say, it was one of them.
But it could, they could. Let's face it, in places, I've always thought it could happen. It could well happen around the country, especially in lower social economic areas, blocks of flats, etc.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've still got. Do blocks of flats still have mailboxes?
Yeah.
They still do. Yeah.
So you know, someone could
mailboxes just go along and.
Someone could graze them quite happily, yeah. couldn't they? You know, and yeah. no one would say anything.
Yeah. We got the next door, so
So that's I think that is the right decision. And say whether they get what happens from it, but at least it's sort of upheld. The judge has gone, we need to try and uphold the political process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to make sure no fraud.
Yeah. Mm.
But as you say, it's the potential up for it to happen, particularly with, as you say, blocks of flats, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Even in this study.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What else you got there, Mick?
It was three articles that are kind of related. The first one was in Monday's Herald. Government rates cap will squeeze finances. This is referring to the government's proposed rates cap scheme. And leading credit ratings agencies said that the government rates cap will squeeze council finances and make it harder to balance the books, which Christopher Luxon has dismissed. Mr. Simon Watts has dismissed as well.
Oh, yeah.
And saying they're doing dumb stuff. But that ties in with weather findings reveal river plains are increasingly exposed to extreme weather, and the region's flood defences will need smarter planning, stronger data, and deeper public engagement to keep the community safe. And this is the same region council they're going to get rid of, this government.
Mm-hmm.
Which also ties in. Insurance average quote in Canterbury increases almost twice as far. This is because of extreme weather events in down that way, and insurance creep premiums will go up.
Because that weren't flood defences exposed in the Hawke's Bay or somewhere?
Yeah.
Because they needed to be upgraded and weren't?
So the impact of these is bigger than Mr. Luxon makes out, because how are councils going to respond to major weather events and repair damage to whatever if you're going to cap?
And you know,
it's a vicious circle.
Yeah, and then what happens when we go like London and many cities in New York and in the Western world,
the infrastructure
where the cities are dirty.
Yeah.
They might have lots of wealth and everything else, but what goes first? The servicing of the rubbish bin, the servicing of the street sweepers, it's always at the bottom end that
they bear the brunt. Also, the repair mayor thinks that he was talking about, I haven't bought the article, but he's talking in a similar vein, that some of these reforms, these retrenchments will come to such an extent and how long they'll be in place, it'll be almost impossible to reverse the retrenchment.
Yeah.
It'll become a fait accompli. Oh, well, you've managed without that
library
or that park or the you managed now. Why do we need to repair it or upgrade it?
It's Luxon's attitude. It's dismissive.
Yeah, you just think, oh, these councils are doing dumb stuff, but. The councils are
happy. They want the council at their beach house where they live.
To repair the infrastructure there.
To boot the seawall or to pick up the rubbish there. Yeah, they want all that where they are. Elite areas, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the tougher areas are more expensive to service because they're dealing with all these social issues as well.
The councils aren't big enough, they don't have resources to respond.
Yes.
Or always materials, always stuff. Goes up in price. It doesn't get any cheaper.
No.
So
the
numbers don't add up. How can councils respond if they're being kneecapped?
Yeah, Rupaya District Council, that's got a low population. So, of course, if there's anything high value, they don't have the rate base to sort of fund that.
No.
What was his name, Curtin? Weston?
Well, Weston Curtin, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's very good. My daughter's met him.
He's just saying... And thinking long term.
Voted to keep Māori wards, which is really interesting because it's a rural area and all that. Yeah. So, they have obviously a good relationship.
Quite progressive.
Yeah.
So there's insurance. People's insurance are going to go up, and councils aren't going to be able to respond to damage through extreme weather. So it just compounds.
Very good YouTube thing on Richard Murphy about the purpose of tax all that. Just come out.
Check it out.
And it was very good because, as I say, it's like council is local government. And, yes, you have the right to say to local government, we want you to be as – you and your staff, et cetera, to be as efficient as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But the local government is responsible for – what we do for our sewage, what we do for our stormwater, what we do for our rubbish, what we do for our lighting, our recreation, our sports fields, our footpaths, so much. So they do have a big responsibility, and it really should be governments, and they do get funding from central government at times.
Just get an impression it's making it impossible for councils to respond to these sort of events.
Well, and to me, what the thing is, there are people in Hamilton who will never go out of Hamilton for a holiday.
Yeah, we know that.
At the end of the day, so unless someone takes them or they're lucky enough, a relation or something, they don't get the luxury of a beach house in Waiheke Island. They don't get the luxury of a lake house at Taupo or to stay there. Their lives are in this, in this case in Hamilton, in the city. So having the balloon event or having something at the gardens or a street parade is a makes their lives a lot more tolerable and enjoyable.
And
you know,
government wants to do away with that.
And that implies that's what I fear. The council will be forced to look. What can we cut?
Well, the other thing is the council will be hamstrung because if they want to make a decision that the government doesn't approve of, they're going to have a crown. If they go ahead with getting rid of regional councils, they're going to have a crown representative on those mayoral panels.
Mm.
They could veto any proposal by a council to respond to some sort of infrastructure issue or weather event.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I say it, just those people making the decision saying, you can't have this.
Are impacted.
Because they're off to the beach. They're off to the lake house.
Because their council maintains their infrastructure.
With an invite to the beach house.
Yeah, so I just think there's that disconnect.
Well, it's definitely a disconnect between the head government of the country and local government. And how we're supposed to respond to certain
things. Those people say, well, you know, our rents need to go up. We need to put our rent. You've had the same rent for the last year. It's got to go up. That's sort of psychology. But so why can't council workers, why can't they have a pay rise? Why can't...
Well, see, that's the other thing. Are council workers going to get a pay rise?
Well, that's the temptation, was council will be trying to keep their costs down and all that.
And they'll pitch their attempts at areas that can least afford it. It'd be the poor areas that will bear the brunt of any...
And the lower paid in the council, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see that happening. But but council workers are just human beings. Of course they want to have a holiday. And
some of them just want a living wage.
Yeah, of course, yeah, you know.
Yeah, speaking of government and really not people don't really care, have you heard the story about the public trust and the fees around public trust?
No.
Okay, I'll just quote this on Stuff because I saw this today. Public trust told Associate Justice Minister McKee and officials that vulnerable Kiwis were struggling to pay hefty new audit fees and needed help. Official documents show, but nothing was done. Public trust executives told the government that vulnerable people were struggling to pay new fees for the auditing of their finances and that help was needed. But the government has not taken up options suggested by public trust to ease the financial burden, and the issue remains unresolved.
Is this to do with estates or what?
I think it is. And particularly with vulnerable people.
In
October last year, the government axed the subsidy which had covered the cost of auditing financial statements submitted by property managers for vulnerable people with assets below a certain level, meaning the protected person is now liable for the new full cost.
That's going to impact on a lot of people.
And it says his staff has reported on how the fees came as a shock to many families who knew nothing of the changes and suddenly found themselves faced with bills for hundreds or even thousands of dollars.
Mm.
So it's almost like this government is dismissive, like you said of here, like they're dismissive of the rates, and there's rates kept. Now they sound like dismissive of that sort
of
thing.
Well, it's just this, you do as I say, but the rules are different for me.
Seems a real disconnect, day-to-day running of the country.
Mm. Yeah.
On basics like infrastructure and on a local level.
And I go back, I always harp on about this, but an unequal society, it
breeds discontent.
It can breed
antisocial behaviour.
It can cost you more because you can't park your nice car at a reserve because you're fearful of getting scratched or worse. Mm. The same thing. Then you have the people who are feeling they're not participating in society that can lash out. So, you know, the repercussions are awful.
Horrendous.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, so.
But this government seems hell-bent on creating a two-tier system, us and them.
Well, I think it's not just this government. I think it's the world. We seem to be now governing for the elite around the world, just about. Yeah. A few exceptions.
And it's been going on for a couple of decades now.
Yeah. It's like, okay, what do the people want? Oh, no, but what are those big families
want?
What
do we want?
Yeah.
And it continues. I mean, they're now this sort of malaise. The crunch time for Te Heria. The train service could come off the rails if councils don't support continuing the trial. The future of Hamilton's Te Heria rail service remains uncertain, with Waikato Regional Council, again, looking at ask of an extra year for this trial period to go on. Again, it gets back to the council. If the regional council doesn't exist anymore, then the mayoral panel of mayors and a crown representative could just veto it. Just scrap it.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on.
They're
just clawing back anything that's of benefit to the greater number of people rather than...
Yeah, the greater good seems to be, well, as long as it's good for the elite and the wannabe elites, because people forget there's a large group of people who are doing all right and they don't look down, they don't use the buses, so they go, well, yeah, we get rid of that, my rates will be less. There's a lot of people like that.
If they think that, then they're pretty stupid.
Well, they are, but that's how they think. It's like, because one day they might be rich, you know?
Thing about races is like taxes, they never go down, they always go up.
No. But I say, you know, this Richard Murphy guy, I recommend him. He explained about the purpose of tax.
Well, it's supposed to keep the country going, isn't it? It's supposed to look after the population. It's supposed to provide services and all that sort of stuff.
And the trouble is, you know, you get this push, there's more money in it for our pocket and we can decide. But that's very good if you've got money.
Mm, if you haven't got any money.
Or even if you're just doing all right, we need each other. You know, the operation for cancer treatment or lots of things.
That involves an awful lot of people.
That involves an awful lot of money. Mm. We need the collective willpower to pay for
it. Oh, you use the C word, collective.
Oh, sorry, that's not... I know I'm a half...
Collective cooperation, collaboration.
Yeah,
but it's not happening that way, though.
No.
That's me on my soapbox.
Dismissive.
It is, and it's very disheartening because it's going to make things hard for those people who are struggling now.
Well, then it rocks society.
Then they wonder, crime's gone up. Or antisocial behaviour's gone up.
And polarisation goes up.
This week, the council, I think they've got a bill so far, about 130 grand so far, climbing, due to vandalism.
Yeah.
Which the council, i.e. us ratepayers, We've got to pay for it. It just goes on and on.
So that basically comes into that discontent, resentment stuff.
Yeah, of course it does.
You know,
so
it just goes on and on.
Yeah.
Mm.
What do you got, Craig? Get it?
The only thing that came to my mind was that this is so-called economic, you know.
Oh, the fun, suddenly we're starting to do all right.
1.1.
Yeah.
The 1.1.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I took a sceptical look at that and say, well, you politicians look very happy, you businesses look very happy, even the media was salivating at as part of it. But going what we know is in working at the social services line, it's not all that rosy. No. Yeah,
but that's what I think. Same thing, a bit like the Palestine Israel question. We actually need to talk about. There's not nearly enough talking about inequality and wealth and all that. It gets bits and pieces, but serious conversations aren't had enough.
No, they're not.
All we get is platitudes.
Yeah, you know.
Get any serious. Let's all nut this out together so you can come up with something constructive.
Yeah. Because I say, and it's quite for those doing it right. The world's their oyster, you know. And there's plenty of them. You look at events and all that cost quite a lot of money for rock stars or anything else. They're full to the brim, you know. So they're not. There's people with spare money out there, and they're not 10% of the population.
Yeah,
it's just that there's 30% of the population that are doing it hard,
extremely,
and they're not the majority, but they're a good third.
Yeah, I'm hearing things like portions of benefits have been reviewed and things have been trimmed off.
Yeah,
because they no longer, for example, you no longer do that. Like get my lawns mowed by a contractor.
Yeah.
I don't go to the swimming pool for my exercise.
Well, things like vaccination. Interesting, I was talking to the vet not this time, but the time before. Vaccinations are down for pets. When you're struggling for money and suddenly you've got a few $100 bills for your vaccination, won't do it. It's one of those sort of, I should do it, but if I haven't got the money, or I've got to need to spend it on something else. Mm. So that's sort of how it all affects. And then there's a ripple from that. The dogs can get sick, they can infect others, and off it goes. It's a bit like health. It's the same with humans.
And then look at businesses. Some of those small one-person businesses are struggling because there's less people with discretionary income.
Or
someone worked out if you spend $7 a day on a coffee, it's about over $1,000 a year.
Fair.
There are people who can't.
The pool of people with discretionary income is continuing to contract.
And goes back, if I'm wealthy, I can afford 20 cups of coffee a day.
But you don't drink 20.
I don't drink 20. Whereas if 20 people all had enough for a cup each, that's what benefits an economy.
Or a business.
It's a spin-off. Yeah. Because once I've had my one coffee or maybe two coffees, I don't buy any more.
Oh, yeah.
Even if I could, you know.
I don't want to do that. No.
Yeah.
No.
So that's why spreading the love is really the basis. If everyone's doing it right, and that cost of that individual who's feeling, left out, not feeling that he's appreciated or anything, if that person goes rogue or gets disaffected and starts lashing out, the cost to society through the smashed glass window, through maybe violence, through the criminal section, maybe health, the cost of that is far more than making sure that he's got an extra $50 a week to have a life or spending thousands on him to try and get him some skills so he has got a job, can get a job, or create a job.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. There's false economies everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of the people make decisions. They live in a nice, secure suburb.
Yeah.
They don't spend any time in Hamilton on the weekend.
And the decisions they make don't impact on them.
Yeah, no. So they're not having to live in a city where there's nothing going on because cutbacks. They're off enjoying a barbecue at the country club, you know?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. That's what you think about when at this time of the year.
You highlight it, doesn't
it? You highlight it. You deal with people. You deal with people who are potentially struggling. They may be struggling as a single parent with children with disabilities, or they may be a person who may have lost their job and they can't quite get onto a benefit, for example. They may have their benefits suspended. They may have had their payments altered so that they're less.
Yeah.
So it's a biggie for those people.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Yeah. I've got something.
Go for it.
Years ago, I noticed I'm a bit of a greenie. I'm a tomato. Green at first and then red. So it's my favourite fruit. But I support Forest and Bird, which is a private charity, etc. But I notice that they're doing a Christmas. They always do it in a Christmas appeal, yeah. And it's usually for something. But this year they're doing an appeal for a legal fund, because they're saying that with what the current government and the coalition,
oh, deregulations,
with yeah. all the deregulations and oh, the RMA and
mining
the, yeah. and the fast tracking, etc., they're yeah. going to have to spend far more resources than that. Putting up on litigation, course, yeah. And I've always said that for some time to them. When we get asked, what do you think the biggest threat is? And I've always said it's actually be able to fight this legally in lots of cases. So they're doing an appeal for that. But yeah, it's sort of not good, because you know, if we don't have people organisations that are trying to at least question what's going on, yeah. it's just a free for all.
Yeah.
It's like if you say, well, you know, everyone can just drive on the road and they'll all be sensible. No, it doesn't work like that.
No, yeah, no.
Well, and it's the same with land. Okay, that's a nice swamp. If we don't have some protections for it,
it'll go.
Many will see it.
Yeah, but the vast majority is
drain. But others will go, let's drain that and get another cow on it.
Yeah.
No one's going to see that. I'll just change my oil in my car, because it's not just about cockies or anything else. Someone in town goes, oh, yeah, I'll just pour my oil into the drain,
yeah,
yeah,
because there's no one's going to protect it, etc. Yeah. So, so that's Forest and Bird's biggest push. And they have had some good victories. When I say victories, they've managed to get more marine sanctuaries up in Auckland.
Yeah, yeah.
And but I see just as a side to that, I see they've just put a ban on crayfishing.
On the east coast of
sort of the upper North Island, because the numbers have just depleted, and that's an issue in itself. And then, of course, there's no crayfish, etc., to eat the kinna. Then the kinna eat everything that's on the rocks and the reefs.
Population explosions of different species.
And then there's no kelp, and so it sort of exasperates. Whether it's too late or not, I'm not sure.
It's hard to know.
And you can get it back, because they've done trials where they've isolated areas that have been badly degraded, and by making it, banning any fishing or any taking, etc., it does come back, but it does take a little while.
So
that's Mitt on the environmental thing.
Oh, another thing on the environment was sort of another positive. Was it Kiki or Otorohanga? It's got the bird sanctuary.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is it Kiki?
Otorohanga.
Yeah, they got vandalised anyway.
Yeah.
Mm. Badly damaged, but the locals have all chipped in to go to for the repairs.
Yeah, wasn't that and Otorohanga has always had a strong community.
It was just vandalism, didn't it?
Yeah.
Probably something with a bit of resentment, discontent.
Yeah. Antisocial behaviour.
Yeah. Boredom. Yeah.
Boredom. Yeah. Brought on by the highlighted inequalities in our society.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, well, on that note, we're out of here.
Okay. On a more cheerful note, have a Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas out there. And you can catch us on freefm, .org.nz, or just check out the podcast.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.